lot of people say that Satan is a fallen angel. How many of you have heard that before? Okay, can you prove it to me biblically? All right. Okay, can you prove to me he was a fallen angel? Okay. Okay, where does it say he was a fallen angel? Let's get specific. Let's be specific with the terms. Where does it say he was a fallen angel? Okay. Do you know where in Isaiah? No, there's two spots we're going to want to look at is Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. So Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. All right, so in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is speaking here. He's speaking. He sent the 70 out. And he's saying, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. That's verse 17. And then Luke 10, 18, he says, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Okay, so that's where that passage comes from. So he beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So he was in heaven, okay? And then now we're here in Isaiah 14, and we want verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Now, most people believe, and I'm with them, that this is, you know, Satan, you know, this is the original sin is right here. We're looking at it, the original sin. And what is it? What is the original sin? It's pride. Why? Where do we get that from? Because five times in there, he says, I will, I will, I will, I will. It's all about self. And so this was the original sin. For thou hast said in thine heart, okay, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And if you study that statement out, the stars of God, and you compare scripture with scripture, then you should come to the conclusion then that the stars of God is speaking of angels, okay? So he says, I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of God, above the angels. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, and then look, the greatest. And this is really where mankind sits for the most part. I will be like the Most High, because, you know, you read in Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Okay, that's what's happening. I'm going to be like the Most High. What are you declaring when you say, I'm going to do what I want? You're going to say, I'm God. That's essentially what you're saying is, I'm God. I will be like the Most High. I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay, so that's pride. And this is what the original sin was. Okay, so we see what happened. Okay, his name originally was Lucifer. He was the son of the morning. Okay, and look at this. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? So he's hurt the nations. He's weakened them. I'm going to ascend into heaven. I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of God. I mean, all these things he says. Okay, so that's his fall was pride. Okay, and Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Okay, right here. Jesus saying he beheld that, then he created him. Satan is not equal with Jesus. That's important that we understand that, because I know so much, and it's especially like with, you know, the battle between good and evil that's put out there, and it's like there's some epic battle going on between God and the devil, and we don't know who's going to win. No, there is no battle. I mean, God's letting things play out. He's given Satan to be the god of this world. He's given him a certain amount of power and liberty in this world, but it's so he can have genuine followers. That's what he's looking for. He wants us to sincerely serve him, and there is the curse of the fall and all that. I'm not getting into all of that, but he wants us to choose him and not choose this world and this world's ways. So Jesus beheld him as lightning fall from heaven. Jesus was there. He created him and he watched this happen. Okay, what the sin was within his heart, we see in Isaiah 14. Now turn to Ezekiel 28. And that's how I remember it, is Isaiah 14. And then, you know, I just remember the books Isaiah and Ezekiel, and it's Isaiah 14. And then you multiply that times 2 and it's 28. That helps me to remember. I don't know. That works for me. If it doesn't work for you, I don't know what to tell you. Figure something out that does, I guess. But that helps me to remember where they're at. So Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. All right, we're going to be in verse 12. All right, now remember, we started this off by me asking that a lot of people think that angels are, or that the devil is an angel, right? Okay, so can we prove that biblically? All right, so we have to just, and we're going to get into something. The generic form of the word angel simply means a messenger. Okay? The generic, just when you just take what is an angel, it's a messenger. And we could, let me be more specific, it's a heavenly messenger, a messenger that's delivering a message from heaven. Okay? So that's what an angel is. Yeah. An angel is a spirit? I'd have to like study more in depth on that, because anytime you see an angel, I mean, they always take on the form of a man. Every time you ever see an angel, it takes on the form of a man. So is it a spirit? Maybe to some degree, I guess it's a spiritual being, but is it a spirit? Like, do they just like float around? Is that what you're saying? Right. Well, the only time we see angels, they're in the form of a man. You know, so that's where I would stand on that, is if we do entertain them, then it's a man. It's going to look as a man. What's that? Can they what? I don't know where you're going to find that anywhere in the Bible, that they transform into something. Right, now they can travel supernaturally fast, absolutely, because they can travel from heaven to here, that they can do, but they always manifest themselves in the form of a man. So never a woman, okay? They never come in the form of a woman. They never have wings, okay? So sorry, you know, the angel on the top of a tree is not an angel, okay? That's not an angel, biblically speaking. If we want to be correct biblically, that is not an angel. An angel is always a man, and they never have wings, ever. Okay? So, as we're looking at some of these things, and I ask the question, a lot of people say that Satan is a fallen angel. Okay? And I'm asking it just because, do we actually care what the Bible says? Do we actually care what the Bible says, or do we more care about what tradition says? You're going to find some idols when you start looking at that right there. If I care what the Bible says, or if I care what tradition says. Because, well, I've grown up believing this my whole life. Well, great, but you've been wrong your whole life then. I mean, I had to come to some of those conclusions myself, and a lot of things that I believed, I was like, man, I was wrong. Like, according to what the Bible says, I believed wrong like my whole life, basically. Okay? So you have to ask yourself if you care what the Bible says, or if you care more what tradition says. And if you're going to stand more with what tradition says, then you're lining yourself up more with the scribes and the Pharisees who wanted to follow tradition. So again, I'm asking this question, and some people might say you're nitpicking, and I'm like, well, I just believe I have an every word Bible, and I believe it's truth, and I believe we should strive our best to follow it and believe what it says and understands the truths that it teaches. Let's be accurate, right? I mean, we want to be accurate. If you go in for a major surgery, you want the doctor to be accurate, right? I don't want him to just kind of guess and be like, well, that's close enough. Like, I stitched that up close enough. I mean, I don't know, the vein may be still bleeding out internally, but it's close enough. No, you don't want anything like that. You want them to be accurate. So it's important that we're accurate, I believe. So as we're looking at this, is Satan an angel? Okay, or was he an angel? Is he a fallen angel? All right, we're in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation. That's a title Jesus took upon himself. That's also a title that was given to Ezekiel, okay, son of man. Take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. So lament, like cry. This is a sad thing about the king of Tyrus. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Okay, so a lot of times in the Bible, it's going to talk about things and it's going to have two meanings. Okay, there's a meaning for the actual king of Tyrus, but then there's something underlying as well. It's speaking beyond the king of Tyrus. Okay, and you're going to see that's fairly obvious, I think, if you just read what it says, you'll recognize that this is clearly speaking beyond a human king of Tyrus, okay? So son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Okay, so that right there, could that have been the king of Tyrus at this moment that Ezekiel is writing this to, when there actually was a king of Tyre, okay, in you know, 588 BC or 600 BC, whatever it is, give or take. Could that have been the king of Tyre? It's possible that the king of Tyre was in the Garden of Eden? No, it is not possible, correct. That's not possible. That's not so. Clearly, this is speaking beyond the king of Tyre. Okay, he's representing something and he's going to delve into this. So this is not speaking of the king of Tyre at this moment, okay? Okay, so he says, thou sealest up the sum, you were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Okay, so that right there, this is giving us a clue as to who this is. So who has been, that we know of from the Bible, who has been in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve, who else? The serpent, Satan, who else? God. That's it, right? That's who we know. Okay, that's the information we have. That's all that's been in the Garden of Eden. All right? So, is it Adam or Eve? No. Is it God? No, because God's the one giving the message, right? He's the one telling Ezekiel, write this stuff down. Here's the message you need. So who's left? Satan. Okay. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. So this is what covered him, was every precious stone. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So if this is Satan, then it says, in the day thou was created, he was a created being. Okay, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Therefore, Jesus created him. Again, going back to the fact that Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So he was there. He was his creator. Satan was created. He was created full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. He was in the garden of God. Every precious stone was his covering. All these things. And look at this. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So when we think of pipes, tabrets, those are musical instruments. So the indication given is that he was in charge of music, or we could say the worship of God, the praise of God. This is what he was in charge of. Okay, and we're going to get into a little bit more when we read into the next verse, but really also protecting God's holiness. Okay, so he was close to God. And there's another clue that's given when Michael the archangel, I believe it's in Jude, he says that even Michael the archangel won't bring a railing accusation against Satan. Even he won't do that. Okay, and as you read the Bible, Michael the archangel, the way it appears from everything I've read in the Bible is that he is the highest ranking angel there is. But even he wouldn't bring a railing accusation against Satan, okay? Against Lucifer. Well, he did throw him out. We just read it. Oh, that, wait, that who? That's probably extra biblical. Yeah, I mean, right. Because I'm not familiar with that. Okay. Well, there is a time that I'd have to refresh my memory, but that Michael is going to, you know, I don't even know if it's Michael. It might just be some angels are going to throw him in the bottomless pit. That's going to happen. Right. Well, and there's no definitive evidence or proof. There's no statement saying Michael's the highest ranking angel, but him and Gabriel are the only ones called archangels. And, you know, it appears that Michael is the highest ranking and he won't bring a railing accusation against Satan. So that leads me and others to believe that Lucifer, before Satan fell, that Lucifer was probably the highest ranking created being, okay, that existed right below God. And this is why he's like, look, I have all this power. I'm like the most beautiful looking one. And now, you know, I will be like the Most High. I'm going to set my throne above the stars of God, above all these other angels. I'm going to be over them. I'm going to be like the Most High. And God said, no, no, no. See, the Bible says God won't share his glory with another. The Lord will not share his glory with another. He will not do that. So this is Satan's fall. Now, we're looking here. So it says, yeah, no problem. No, that's all right. This is good to ask questions. Okay, so it appears that he was in charge of music. So if this is what he was, then we should expect him to still work in that realm today. Okay, so just, you know, this is why the music we listen to is important. The music we don't listen to is important as well. Okay, now verse 14. So this all started because I asked the question that many of us have heard, that Satan was a fallen angel. And I said, okay, can you prove that biblically? All right. Now we're going to get to this. Thou art, verse 14, thou art the anointed what? Cherub. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Okay. Now, hold on 1 second. Without going into a whole big explanation of looking everywhere where it talks about angels, I'd like, go study it yourself. I want you to. You don't have to take my word for it, but I'm not going to get into a big study on everything about angels right now, on chasing down every reference to them where they appear in the form of a man. But do study it. Don't just take my word for it. But as I've found, every time an angel shows up, they appear in the form of a man. Okay? So that's how an angel appears. But now we see that Satan, Lucifer as he was an anointed cherub. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Look at this. Till iniquity was found in thee. Till iniquity was found in thee. So what was that? Isaiah 14, that pride, okay? Everything was great. You were perfect. You were complete. You were all that you needed to be. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in thee. But it says specifically, thou art the anointed cherub. So I asked the question, people believe it's said that Satan is a fallen angel. Can we prove that? Well, I have yet to see proof of it, that he's a fallen angel. What's that? Yeah, we're going to get there. We're going to look at that. We're going to see what a cherub is because, again, an angel always appears in the form of a man. Okay, when an angel appears to someone, they're not like freaking out, like, what is this crazy looking creature? They're just shocked because this angel's there and they're in fear many times. Not always, but many times they're in fear. The Bible says, like Michael had mentioned, we entertain angels unawares. Well, how could it be unaware if it's some crazy looking creature? How would we be unaware of it if we're entertaining them? Like if I entertain someone at my house, they're there at my house, right? So how do we entertain them? Well, because they appear in the form of a man and we don't know it. We don't know it's an angel, but they're there. They're a messenger to help us or whatever. I don't know what the circumstances could be, but they're there to help. And, you know, that's what the Bible says. So what is a cherub then? Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. All right, well, let's look up what a cherub is. So we know nowhere does it say that Satan's an angel, okay? You note that in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say he's an angel. All right, he's a cherub, a cherubim. Okay, so let's go ahead. Let me see if I can get us to the right spot here. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1. Okay. All right, Ezekiel chapter 1. All right, we're just going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read a little bit here, but we'll see. All right, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kabar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Okay, so this is Ezekiel. They're in captivity. The southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, have been taken captive now into Babylon, and this is what's going on. This is where he's at. So he says, in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness, look at this now, of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Now let's stop and back up, and it says they had the appearance of a man, okay? And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Okay, so what's it saying? In general, because we're going to see some things that obviously don't equate to a man, but in general, they would like stand up like a man, okay? They're going to have, you know, basics is going to look like a man, okay? All right, it says, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. So let me back up before that. So they had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. Okay. So they don't. What are we looking at? See, we're going to see what we're looking at, because I told you I was going to take us and we're going to define something. Okay, so we were talking about angels always appear in the form of a man, right? And then what did we last look off? It said that Satan is a what? A cherub. So what are we coming to look at? I'm going to describe to us something. A cherub. Okay, this is what a cherub looks like. A cherub is not an angel. Okay, you see, this is where people, they just, okay, it's these heavenly creatures, so we're just going to put them all together. Well, that's not accurate. That's not right that we mix them up. I mean, that's not it. Like, if I told you, I'm like, oh, you know, if a cat walked in, I'm like, look at that dog. Like, we're going to be like, no, that's not accurate. You're like, they're similar, though, aren't they? I mean, they walk on all fours. They have 4 feet. They have paws. They have fur. They have a tail. They have a mouth, eyes, teeth. Right? They're similar, right? But they're definitely not the same thing, are they? They're different. We're not going to equate them to be the same, because they're not. Okay? They're completely different. So it's the same with this. We don't just get to be, you know, just willy-nilly with the Bible and be like, it's close enough. So this, they're all angels. They're all of the angelic being. I've heard that before thrown out. Well, Satan's of the angelic beings. I'm like, cool, show me that in the Bible. Like, where is that? Like, I'd love to see it. That's great. I have no problem saying Satan and the angels are of the heavenly beings. Absolutely, because they are. They are. That's accurate. But to say that they're all of the angelic beings, or of the, they're of the cherubim beings, I'm like, that's not accurate either, because these are two different things we're looking at. We're describing two different things. This is why God put this in here, to tell us, hey, there's a difference. Let's pay attention to the difference. And then there's also the seraphim. Okay, that's something else that you could throw in as well. And those are a little bit different. They're more fit with the cherubim, but they're different. I'm not even going to get into that one. We're just going to look at this right now, okay? All right, so we see that they have four faces and everyone has four wings. Okay, so this is clearly not like, if you saw that, if an angel showed up and you saw that, you would know pretty quick that you're not entertaining this guy unaware. Like if you see someone walk up and they've got a face over here, a face over here, and a face back here, and four wings, you're going to know real quick, this is something different. Okay, you're not going to entertain it unaware. Okay, so it says, and their feet were straight feet. Okay, now, like, look at this. We don't have straight feet. Like, I got my legs straight, and then my foot goes up. They're not like that. They go straight down. Okay, straight down. Into what? Well, let's read it. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. That's exactly right. They have a hoof. It goes down straight. Just like if you look at a horse, at a cow, it goes straight down. They don't have a foot sticking out like we do. Theirs goes straight down. That's what's going on here. This is what it's describing, but it says they had the likeness of a man because they're going to stand upright like a man. Okay, they're going to have qualities of a man. They have a face and a head like we do. It's built like we are, but it's got, you know, four faces. It's got four wings, and then its legs or feet are not like ours. Okay, they're obviously different. Okay, it says, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings. Okay, so they've got then, you know, four wings. So they've got hands under those wings, you know, their arms. And then they have, you know, the feathers and the wings coming off them. And they have hands under them. Okay, on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. So they had hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. So however this works out, they got a wing on each side. Okay, so four all around. Okay. Their wings, verse 9, their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. So basically what it's saying is they don't turn. Like if normally if we're walking, we're going to turn like this and go this way. No, they're just doing this. They're moving like that. Why? Because they don't need to turn. They've got a face on every side. Why do they need to turn? They just go. They just do what they want. Right. And they have a wing on each side. So they're always looking. I mean, they're everywhere they go, they're going. You're like, well, what about their hands if they're backwards? No, they've got hands on this side too, because they've got, you know, four. They don't need to turn anywhere. They can go wherever. Okay. So they turned not when they went, and they went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, now this is interesting to me. They four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. Thus, where their faces and their wings were stretched upward, two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went everyone straight forward. Whither the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. Okay, so we see that this creature is being described right here, but it doesn't tell us yet what this is, okay? What type of creature it is, but we see the description of it, all right? So let's go from here to Ezekiel chapter 10. I don't think that would end out too good for you. No, but I still try. Right? God would probably stop you from doing that or stop your bullet or something, right? Well, now you know you don't have to fear it. All right, so chapter 10, Ezekiel chapter 10. It says, then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. All right, so we're context is cherubims, okay? And by the way, in this is like a transliteration, cherubims, because you could say cherub is singular. In Hebrew, when you add I am to the end of a word, it makes it plural. So it's more than one is what it's saying, okay, cherubims. What's that? cherub and then cherubim or cherubims with an I-M. Okay, so the context, we're looking at these creatures. They're named cherubim. Okay, now remember, Lucifer was the anointed cherub. Okay, and now we're looking at these creatures. We read in Ezekiel chapter 1, some creature being described, right? We don't know what it was. It was some creature being described. Okay, so verse 8. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. And when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub and another wheel by another cherub. And the appearance of the wheels was as the color of a beryl stone. And as for their appearances, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went. And their whole body and their backs and their hands and their wings and their wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that they four had. As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel, and everyone had four faces. The first face, okay, so here we see it's describing the same thing. We're getting more description of it, all right? But it's describing the same type of thing. Four wings, four hands, four faces, okay? It says, and everyone had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub, okay? And the second face was the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. The fourth, the face of an eagle. All right, so the cherubims were lifted up. This was the living creature that I saw by the river of Kabar. All right, so now that connects it. What happened in Ezekiel chapter 1, he says, this is what I saw, this creature. Because remember, when we go back to Ezekiel chapter 1, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chabar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. So these creatures that he described in chapter 1, he's saying, this is the same thing. This is the creature that I saw. Okay, now, when we look at this, again, even so we saw in verse 15, the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Chabar. And then verse 20, this is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Chabar, and I saw that they were the cherubims. And then verse 22, and the likeness of their faces were the same faces which I saw by the river of Chabar, their appearances and themselves, they went everyone straight forward. So clearly he's telling us this is the same creature, okay, that I saw. Now, it says in verse 14, and everyone had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. So what is the face of a cherub then? And I always found this interesting to me. Maybe someone else doesn't, but I've always thought this is interesting. What is the face of a cherub? Okay, or we could say, what is Lucifer's face? What is the devil's face? Okay, well, how do we know what his face is? Because it says, the first face was the face of a cherub, the second, the face of a man, the third, a lion, the fourth, an eagle. So how do we know what the face of a cherub is? The face of an ox. We cross-reference it with what we were told in chapter 1. We cross-reference it with that because there we were described what each face was. Okay, as for the likeness of their faces, this is Ezekiel 1:10. They four had the face of a man, the face of a lion. They four had the face of an ox and the face of an eagle. So we have a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. Okay, a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. The first face was the face of a cherub. The second was the face of a man, a lion, and an eagle. So what is it? It's an ox. Okay, like a cow, basically. That's a cow. Okay, now, with that understanding, now you get into the people that satanic rituals and all of that stuff, and guess what they have? Lo and behold. What is a part of it? Yeah, those images you see of, like, they'll be in a robe and they have a cow's head on with horns coming out. So where do we get the devil has horns? See, there's some truth in most error, there's truth. And this is where it comes from. But nowhere in here does it say that the devil or Lucifer is a fallen angel. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. It says he's a cherub. Something completely different. Completely different than an angel. Okay, so when we looked at angels, I want to make that very clear that he's not a fallen angel. And I'm not going to sit there and argue with somebody. I'll show them some of this in general, but if they don't want to see it, I'm like, fine, believe whatever you want then. I'm not going to sit here and try and convince you of something if you won't believe what's plainly presented. And I don't think I've done any trickery or anything here to try and get people to see things my way. I'm just like bringing out the scriptures. Here's what it says. Like, there it is. Okay, so when people ask me, you know, about this, and if they want to argue, I'm like, well, Satan's not a fallen angel. Or I won't even get into it with people if they say it. I'm like, whatever. You know, unless like we get into a conversation about it, I'm be like, well, you know, he's actually not a fallen angel. You can't prove that biblically. And then if we're going to have a discussion about it, fine, and I'll go through it. But if they want to still believe that, I'm like, go for it. Hey, whatever. Believe what you want. Like, I'm a liberty-minded person. You believe whatever you want. I think you're going to be wrong, but you get to believe whatever you want. If you want to believe that, then go for it, you know. And maybe this can be the catalyst to move you forward out of that belief. And it might just take a little while. I mean, I don't believe everything. The first time I heard it, I didn't believe a lot of things. I was like, oh, I got to study that out. Or I don't know about that. Some things I got mad about and I didn't want to believe it. And then I was like, oh, man, they're right. You know, because, hey, if we want to be followers of the Bible, then we got to follow the Bible. And we're all prone to being wrong at times. So we need to be willing to be corrected by the Bible. So if someone doesn't immediately follow it, it's fine. I'm not going to cast them off as a heretic either. Okay, but I thought that was interesting, and I thought that was important that we point that out, that Satan is not a fallen angel, okay? Because that's something that most of the time is overlooked, and a lot of people will say, well, it's not that important. Well, then, like, what else isn't important? I mean, is repentance for salvation important? I mean, what parts of the Bible do we get to pick and choose at? You understand what I'm saying? Like, we should see it all as important. It's all truth, right? I mean, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So if we get to be haphazard with this topic, then why can't we be haphazard with other topics that are seemingly, at least as far as our salvation goes, more important? But what this all comes down to, and which is really important, this is the heart of it, is how much do you value the word of God? What does the word of God mean to you? Because this is what's going on in the world in which we live, is that, you know, you can look back at President Obama and he's quoting Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, parts of it. I mean, because, well, that's nice stuff. You know, blessed are the peacemakers. You know, and so we'll quote that stuff. But then he, under his presidency, now he makes, you know, June Gay Pride Month. Light up the White House rainbow colors. Right, well, all sorts of stuff. But my point is, like, what do we pick and choose? Where do we end with this? If it's not all truth, and that's going to tell you a lot of your attitude towards the Word of God. What is my attitude towards the Word of God? If this is truth, then what do I do with truth? There's so much that principle right there that I just gave you applies to everything in the Bible and every area of your life. And what am I going to do with truth when I come across it? When God basically smacks me in the face with truth, what am I personally going to do with it? And we all have that question to answer, and you will have that to answer for the rest of your life, because there's always something new coming. There's always something that we haven't dealt with yet, or maybe I dealt with it, you know, whatever, like things just kind of happen in phases as you look at the world, and this was a big thing then, but it's not now, and now here it comes again. Here's the things coming back, and now I have to deal with it anew. And you're constantly having to evaluate things that come into your life, things that are presented to you, and say, what am I going to do with this new thing? And we have to decide, does truth win out, or do my feelings win out? Right.
So, you know, I saw all these years in the back of the room, like, alive and look at it. But,
Right. Right. Well, there's, I think a lot of things all of us will take for granted. We just hear it and we're like, oh, it sounds good. And we don't investigate it ourselves. I'm like, I have been guilty of that like more times than I can count with biblical things that I just kind of, that sounds good. And I don't really study it out myself. I'm just like, okay, that makes sense. And okay, I'm good enough with that. And, you know, we're not Bereans. We're not searching the scriptures daily to see if those things are so. Therefore, we can get led astray. And it's not always led astray. Sometimes it might just be because people will quip and say, well, all truth is vital. And yes, all truth is vital, but you know, all truth, there's heresies and there's damnable heresies. Okay, what's the difference? Well, damnable heresies are going to send me to hell. Okay, there's some other heresies that, you know, won't send me to hell, false beliefs. Okay, like, When you look at the epistles of the whole Bible, really, but let's just go to the New Testament and you look at the epistles that are written, the letters to the churches, okay, that are written, and they're correcting every single one of them is correcting some sort of error or warning against some error that may be coming in. Every single one of them is doing that. Therefore, like, God's not just like, that's it, I'm done with all of you, I'm burning all of you, this world's done. He's not doing that with us. He gives us a chance to grow. He gives us a chance to learn. And thank God for that, because none of us know everything. And there's some things in the Bible. Peter himself said about Paul's writings, he said, some things hard to be understood. Paul writes some stuff and it's hard to be understood, meaning you're not going to get it just like that. Well, I read it. That makes perfect sense. I get it. There's some things like that, but there's other things you're like, I don't know. That's a tough one. And there's still things like that for me. The kingdom of God is one of those subjects that I was way off on. I didn't even teach on it ever because I didn't know what I believed, because I didn't know enough about it. And guess what? There's still a lot about it I don't know. There's still a lot that I might have to tweak and be like, okay, wait, this. Oh, well, I'm understanding this better. So now maybe it's this. And there's things like that. And we have to be willing to adapt and follow what the Bible says. But understanding that our heart attitude is the biggest thing is, are we like the Bereans and we're searching the scriptures to see if those things are so? Because we can all believe things falsely. I mean, when I first got saved, there was so much like just nonsense that I believed that, you know, it's just like the kind of the truths that go out there that sound biblical, but they're not in the Bible anywhere. And you just kind of believe that stuff. You know, I've mentioned to you guys before, one of them, and this wasn't like, this was pretty big to me anyway, but I remember thinking that we were all God's children, and when I found out we weren't, I was mad about that one. I was like, but it's just these falsities that go out, you know, that people say, well-meaning, you know, you ever go to a funeral, and they're like, well, they're in a better place. I'm like, the guy lived like the devil, never, ever once professed to care anything about God or the Bible. That guy, I'm sorry, I hate to break it to you, he's not in a better place. He's not. Now, I preach a funeral, and I've preached, most of the funerals I've preached have probably been for lost people, okay? And I'm not going to sit there and tell people he's in hell. This person's in hell. Usually what I'll say is like, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt they want you to get saved. They want you to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I don't lie to them and give them a false hope and say, well, they're in a better place. How can we be presenting truth and then lie to people? You know, we can't do stuff like that. I'll just stay quiet sometimes. And if people are going to push me on it, I'll say, well, you know, if you really want to know, like, I don't know if they're in heaven or hell, but I do know this, that if someone has never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, then they're going to hell. But if they've received Jesus Christ as their Savior, then they're in heaven. That's what I can tell them. So I hope the heart of this was more than just learning about was the devil a fallen angel. No, it's more about what is my attitude towards the Bible. Because that's what's really important. Because that, if you have the right attitude towards the Bible, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. It doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. You're not going to make mistakes. You're not going to do some wrong things. But if your attitude towards the Bible is one like King David, who had a man murdered to cover up his sin of adultery. But if you have the heart of King David, and I'm not recommending anyone commit adultery and go murder somebody. That's not at all what I'm saying. Okay, but he had the right heart that he wanted truth. And when it was presented to him, he could have killed the messenger of God, the prophet of God, but he didn't do that. He was convicted of it and he repented and he got things right. And that's what I'm talking about. Even if you do wrong, if you sin, and I'm not encouraging anyone to go sin, and don't take this as a license to go sin because you're like, well, hey, if I just get my heart right, then everything's good. Well, there's a sin unto death also, okay? There's a sin unto death. I don't know where that's at. No one here does. God knows where that's at, okay? But I'm telling you this, he's going to hold a Christian a lot more accountable than he is a lost person. He will hold you a lot more accountable than he will a lost person. The Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. Okay, and you've been given a lot here. We know a lot of Bible truth here. So more is required of you than of other people. Okay, but if our heart attitude is right, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay because you're going to seek God. And you're going to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I messed up again. God, forgive me. Help me. Please, God, I don't want this. I don't want to live this way. I don't want to do this. And you'll be all right. But it all comes down to what is your belief? What is your attitude towards the Bible? Does what it say actually matter, or are you picking and choosing? It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. So